Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch, number 26. It is June 4th, 2020. Preface to the revised edition. Like millions of my race, my mother and father were born slaves, but were not contented to live and die so. My father purchased himself in early manhood by hard toil. Mother saw no way for herself and children to escape the horrors of bondage, but by flight. Bravely, with her four little ones, with firm faith in God and an ardent desire to be free, she forsook the prison house and succeeded, through the aid of my father, to reach a free state. Here, life had to begin anew. The old familiar slave names had to be changed, and others, for prudential reasons, had to be found. This was not hard work. However, hardly months had passed ere the keen scent of the slave hunters had trailed them to where they had fancied themselves secure. In those days, all power was in the hands of the oppressor, and the capture of a slave mother and her children was attended with no great difficulty, other than the crushing of freedom in the breast of the victims. Without judge or jury, all were hurried back to where the yoke again. But back, this mother was resolved never to stay. She only wanted another opportunity to again strike for freedom. In a few months after being carried back, with only two of her little ones, she took her heart in her hand and her babes in her arms, and this trial was a success. Freedom was gained, although not without the sad loss of her two older children, whom she had to leave behind. Mother and father were again reunited in freedom, while two of their little boys were in slavery. What to do for them other than weep and pray were questions unanswerable. For over 40 years, the mother's heart never knew what it was to be free from anxiety about her lost boys. But no tidings came in answer to her many prayers until one of them, to the great astonishment of his relatives, turned up in Philadelphia, nearly 50 years of age, seeking his long-lost parents. Being directed to the anti-slavery office for instructions as to the best plan to adopt to find out the whereabouts of his parents, fortunately, he fell into the hands of his own brother, the writer whom he had never heard of before, much less seen or known. And here began revelations connected with this marvelous coincidence, which influenced me, for years previous to emancipation, to preserve the matter found in the pages of this humble volume. And in looking back now over these strange and eventful providences, in the light of the wonderful changes wrought by emancipation, I am more and more constrained to believe that these reasons, which years ago led me to aid the bondman and preserve the records of his sufferings, are today quite as potent in convincing me that the necessity of times requires this testimony. And since the first advent of my book, wherever reviewed or read by leading friends of freedom, the press, or the race more deeply represented by it, the expressions of approval and encouragement have been hearty and unanimous, and the thousands of volumes which have been sold by me on the subscription plan, with hardly any facilities for the work, makes it obvious that it would, in the hands of a competent publisher, have a wide circulation. And here I may frankly state that but for the hope I have always cherished that this work would encourage the race in efforts for self-elevation, its publication never would have been undertaken by me. I believe no more strongly at this moment than I have believed ever since the proclamation of emancipation was made by Abraham Lincoln, that as a class, in this country, no small exertion will have to be put forth before the blessings of freedom and knowledge can be fairly enjoyed by this people, and until black men manage by dint of hard acquisition to enter the ranks of skilled industry, very little substantial respect will be shown them, even with the ballot box and musket in their hands. Well-conducted shops and stores, lands acquired, and good farms managed in a manner to compete with any other, valuable books produced and published on interesting and important subjects. These are some of the fruits which the race are expected to exhibit from their newly gained privileges. If it is asked how, I answer through extraordinary determination and endeavor, such as are demonstrated in hundreds of cases in the pages of this book. In the struggles of men and women to obtain their freedom, education, and property. These facts must never be lost sight of. The race must not forget the rock from whence they were hewn, nor the pit from whence they were digged. Like other races, this newly emancipated people will need all the knowledge of their past condition which they can get. The bondage and deliverance of the children of Israel will never be allowed to sink into oblivion while the world stands. Those scenes and suffering and martyrdom millions of Christians were called upon to pass through in the days of the Inquisition are still subjects of study and have unabated interest for all enlightened minds. The same is true of the history of this country. The struggles of the pioneer fathers are preserved, produced, and reproduced, and cherished with undying interest by all Americans, and the day will not arrive while the Republic exists when these histories will not be found in every library. While the grand little army of abolitionists was waging its untiring warfare for freedom prior to the rebellion, no agency encouraged them like the heroism of fugitives. The pulse of the 4 millions of slaves and their desire for freedom were better felt through the Underground Railroad than through any other channel. Frederick Douglass, Henry Bibb, William Wells Brown, Reverend J.W. Logan, and others gave unmistakable evidence that the race had no more eloquent advocates than its own self-emancipated champions. Every step they took to rid themselves of their fetters, or to gain education, or in pleading the cause of their fellow bondmen in the lecture room or with their pens, met with applause on every hand, and the very argument needed was thus furnished in large measure. In those dark days previous to emancipation, such testimony was indispensable. The free black men are as imperatively required now to furnish the same manly testimony in support of the race to surmount the remaining obstacles growing out of oppression, ignorance, and poverty. In the political struggles, the hopes of the race have been sadly disappointed. From this direction, no great advantage is likely to arise very soon. Only as desert can be proved by the acquisition of knowledge and the exhibition of high moral character, and examples of economy and a disposition to encourage industrial enterprises conducted by men of their own ranks, will it be possible to make political progress in the face of the present public sentiment. Here, therefore, in my judgment, is the best possible reason for vigorously pushing the circulation of this humble volume, that it may testify for thousands and tens of thousands as no other work can do. William Still, author, September 1878, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Previously, a week or so ago, I read an introduction to this version of the book. Obviously, this is William Still's own preface to a second printing, and for the record, I edited it slightly, just a couple of terms the man used himself, but I won't, and it just, history's changed and words have changed, and I've been reading, you know, Frederick Douglass and other things, and recognizing that I'm going to have to do that, I think, if only for my own, just as in my own position while reading this stuff. Obviously, still sentiments here, and the reporting, that story's of his own brother, and there's a lot of detail and background provided in this work. You know, it's these are truly heroes. It's amazing to imagine that occurring on American soil, and reading, I think it was yesterday, Hernando de Soto talking about the mystery of capital, the crushing evil, is that during this man's time, people were property and treated as assets, and it's just unconscionable. Even once freed legally by the Emancipation Proclamation and other later efforts, of course, all kinds of mechanisms were deployed to obstruct and diminish the freedom, the agency of all these people. And they suffered, and I think the Julian Simon argument is also that we all suffered. We all want each person to be able to pursue their life, liberty, and happiness, as it were. I also very much appreciate William Still going back to things like property and education, these fundamental building blocks. I think that is a valid consideration coming from Hernando de Soto, is the importance of seeing what so easily becomes invisible, things like property and the representation of, and how those representations then fuel further opportunity and risk-taking and profit and wealth for all, and everyone benefits. So it's all fascinating stuff. I also appreciate Still calling out that these stories should never be lost, that many grew up hearing about Moses, and that these stories, and certainly in the American consciousness, deserve a high permanent place of wide recognition and respect. I'll go back to Gatto soon. His critique of the current sort of educational system. So there's just a lot of interesting stuff coursing through here lately. It's fun. It's fun to read through this stuff and talk about it with y'all. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you tomorrow.